Smith takes the shotgun snap. He's got time. Unloads it down the field. Avery wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City! Keenum gets sacked by Talbot Holly, who came untouched and destroys Keenum for the fourth sack by the Chiefs. Center handoff, Charles, play on the left side. Spins! Touchdown! Kansas City! Jamal Charles, his second rushing touchdown of the game.
Welcome to this week edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs and 15-year-long snapper, the man who revolutionized the game, Kendall Gammon. Happy holidays to you and Merry Christmas to you and your family. Okay, let's talk here a little bit. We got to look back at last week and the loss to the Indianapolis Colts, the 23-7 loss. Now, Chiefs haven't had one like this all year. This was a clunker. What happened and why?
Boy, it's hard to put a finger on it because that first drive, they looked so good. And of course, they start out with a nice kickoff return. They go three and out with the defense, and then they get another punt return. Dexter does some good things, really just one guy away from breaking it. And I truly think it could have been a different game had he broke that. It's hard to even say that when you see how the game started out, or ended up rather. But boy, I don't know, because you had the offense at the beginning of the game. You had a little offense at the end of the half, and the sandwich between it was not much of anything offensively.
We saw some uncharacteristic things in this game, one being -4 in the giveaway takeaway. Alex Smith, three-man rush. Here came Mathis, got his arm. That's one pick. The other pick's probably on him in the red zone trying to find Fasano, and then the fumble lost. We just haven't seen that all year from Alex Smith or really from this team.
I was really surprised because I felt like that we were going to dominate the front line, both offensively and defensively. They had three of the four guards that you talked about were out offensively. So I thought defensively we'd put more pressure on them than they did. I mean, they had one guy who was a backup tackle who'd only played two games this year, 67 snaps. He starts at right guard, and for the most part, he did a pretty good job. Certainly, we got our licks in, the Chiefs did. But in general, boy, it just seemed like the big boys from Indianapolis controlled the game on both sides of the ball.
All right, let's transition now to this week's game. And it is indeed intriguing because of kind of all the different scenarios that are in play here. But the Chiefs go to San Diego, close out the regular season against one of the hottest teams right now in the NFL in the San Diego Chargers. And it kind of started with their win here in Kansas City. They really haven't looked back since then. Let's just take the scenarios in this game. San Diego could be playing for everything here. Your thoughts on, let's just take San Diego's, what they've done since the game here in Kansas City, and their possible carrot at the end of the stick.
Well, the fact is that, you know, a coach in his first year and what he's done, they didn't start out that great this year, but now playing so well. Of course, that 41-38 shootout you're alluding to that the Chiefs lost in Kansas City, which they certainly had a chance to win. It's amazing because the confidence has grown and grown with them, and they're playing some good football. This last week, Phillip, he tried to lose it a little bit in terms of throwing an interception, fumbling the ball, but I'm going to tell you, they've got a lot of weapons. They've committed to the run game. They're doing a good job as far as offensively. Defensively, stopping the run. When you look at it the last 2 weeks, against Denver, they give up 18 yards rushing. Against Oakland, they give up 59 last week. That's amazing to me. You don't do that very often in this league. And again, folks, this is a team that was giving up 400-plus yards early and often in the year. So to do what they're doing now, they're starting to get it together.
Yeah, for the season, 4.7. They've gotten some people back on defense. But offensively, let's go jump back there a little bit to look what they've done with Keenan Allen. First of all, I love that pick for them. I hated it for us. But he's going to be the NFL Rookie of the Year probably. Gates is having a good year, but Keenan Allen seems to change everything for them.
He really does. It's amazing to me, a guy that's playing beyond his years as a rookie, just some of the nuances he has. You see him with little out and ups, little crossing patterns, gives a step like he's going upfield, then all of a sudden he's crossing. And of course, he's having somebody in Phillip Rivers really deliver the ball to him on stride so he can do what he does, which is run with the ball. He does a very nice job of that. Very sure-handed, catches the ball out away from his body, which I really, really like. And again, when you have that coupled with Matthews, who we don't know what he'll be because he left the game in a boot, so we're not sure of his status. But you've got a lot of weapons on that team. And when you have a lot of weapons and then you have one that's really, 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 really dangerous like he is, that just magnifies it even more. He can, you know, he had a rough time in the punt game this week as he had a punt return fumble. But in general, he can get it done on that phase as well.
Yeah, he's an excellent player. Got a great future. Danny Woodhead, a running back. Yeah. Got to deal with him. He's been very efficient for them. Ronnie Brown may step in if Matthews can't go. Phillip Rivers, though, is at 70% completion, which is crazy. Leads the league. 28 touchdowns and only 10 picks. It's a big difference for him. His turnovers have gone way down, and I got to credit McCoy here for the job he's done with him.
He has done a great job. And the one thing, I'm going to harken back a little bit, but in terms of Antonio Gates and having your tight end do what he's doing, because I'll be honest with you, I was wrong. I thought Gates was done last year. I thought his career was down the slide. But again, you give the head coach credit for getting all that going again, because the tight end, as Mr. Dawson says all the time, the tight end is the QB's best friend. And right now he's done some good things for him. Again, it's having those different weapons. You talked about Woodhead, getting him the ball out of the backfield with the screen game and things of that nature. That's something that Phil Rivers loves to do, and something that this week is going to be paramount for the Chiefs defense to stop.
Ladarius Green, can't forget about him, had the big play against Kansas City in Arrowhead. It reminds you a lot of kind of the Julius Thomas type guy for the Denver Broncos. But it leads us now to the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid in how you handled this week. The Chiefs know they're the 5 slot. Mm-hmm. We know that. There's no mystery. Now, who they play is a mystery. It could be either New England or Cincinnati or Indianapolis. Now, we know San Diego's situation. It could mean everything to them. If Baltimore or Miami wins, then San Diego's out. This becomes a meaningless game for them. If they both lose, San Diego's going to be on fire like an acetylene torch. How do you handle the Kansas City Chiefs if you're Andy Reid, and how do you handle this week?
You know what? I'm not sure. I know this. The fact is, 14 years in Philadelphia, multiple NFC titles, been to the Super Bowl. The fact is, whatever he decides, I know it'll be the right thing because he's been there and he's done it before. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's one of the big reasons that you as a fan should have so much confidence in what he's doing. But I think more importantly, not to underestimate you as a fan, but the players. This is why they have so much confidence in Andy Reid, because he's been there and done that before. It amazes me when I talk to these players afterwards. So I get a sense, you know, he's talked about it openly that in the past he has rested people, but that doesn't mean that he'll necessarily do it. So it will be interesting to see. We know Jamaal Charles has gotten a lot of carries this year, makes up about 40% of the offense. So how do you do it? Do you get him rest and then risk them being rusty? I'm not sure. It'll be interesting, again, on that aspect as well.
And frankly, if you look at Andy's history, he's done both.
Right.
Okay? He hasn't just followed one trend here. And you brought up the locker room, and we're going to get into more of this next week as we have our playoff edition of Chiefs Live. But this is a locker room. Derek Johnson's played in 2 playoff games. Mm-hmm. Dustin Colquitt's played in 2 playoff games, 1-0. Tom Bahali's played in 2 playoff games. Dwayne Bowe's played in 1. Eric Berry, 1. Dontari Poe, 0. I mean, you look at the core guys of this football team and the lack of playoff experience. Now, how much of that lends itself to looking to Andy Reid or an Alex Smith, who's 1-1,
right,
1-1, to say, how do you handle this? Because the Chiefs have not been in this position very often.
Well, I'm not sure if I can say it any better than just how you put it so eloquently, as the fact is, you don't have a lot of playoff experience in there. And the fact is, you want to look at somebody who's been there and done that, and that is Andy Reid. I'm going to tell you right now, just the way he carries himself, he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and that's a very, very calming influence on an NFL player, especially a young player, and certainly a team as a whole. I can remember back my days with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Coach Cowher, and I felt like that's something he did as well. That's the comparison I draw. He never got too nutso, high or low. It's a long season, and you get into the playoffs, and he, of course, had been the defensive coordinator and done some things here with the Chiefs, and he just had a way about him that made you feel like you were being led by the right person at the right time.
Okay, no matter who plays and how much they play, let's just talk this from the Chiefs' perspective about this week and what needs to happen. Because I remember a game in 2004, you were involved in this. San Diego had the division wrapped up, playing in San Diego, basically played the starters for a half and then pulled them. Put the JVs in, and the JVs still won the game for San Diego. I'll never forget it. But Kasim Osgood, there were guys from San Diego that kind of jump-started their career that day,
right,
and got things going. What do you have to see this week on the field, no matter who plays, or how much they play.
Well, you talk about that. No matter who plays, you could, even if you do rest some folks, you can't rest everybody. So your big boys are going to play up front on both sides of the line, and you'd like to see them get a good game under the belt. I think the offensive line, probably to a man, and you know, I spoke with Jeff Schwartz after the game, they didn't play as well as they would like to have played, and they admit as much. Talking to Tyson Jackson afterwards, he was just like, listen, we didn't play well in any stretch of the imagination, and he talked about it. He goes, it was kind of embarrassing, and he goes, that's not who we are. So I think getting back out there and getting a good taste in your mouth of what you're doing, I think that's the most important thing. I say that, you always want to win, but quite honestly, the win's not the most important thing. It's to get on the roll and start doing what you were doing before this. I mean, before this game, last two games, the type of numbers they were putting up offensively and what they were doing, taking the ball away, those are the type of things you've got to get back on, because you want to feel that mojo as you get into that first round of the playoffs.
Let's talk about a couple of individuals here. I think it's a key week for, and let's start with Nile Davis. Now, we saw Nile start to get some confidence. The 108-yard kickoff return for a touchdown against Denver. Came back with the outstanding run against Washington. Came back again the next week with an outstanding run against Oakland. He has the fumble, kind of a critical juncture in the game. It's still a 7-3 game at that point, but that led to a short field touchdown for the Colts, and they actually took the lead on the Chiefs. What about Nile Davis this week, getting his psyche back, and could be a high-volume week for him?
It probably will be, quite honestly, and I think that's good, because I think it will be nice to see him in a situation where he's running multiple times and to see how he handles it. And the fact is, this is a big, strong running back, and if and I'm going to say when you get the fumble problems corrected, this is a guy that has a chance to do some special things in the NFL, not only on return game, because he continues to do that, but as a player we saw here a couple weeks ago in terms of that run up the middle. I mean, people just literally bounced off of him. You don't arm tackle this guy. And it's that amazing combination of being 5'10", 230 pounds, that size, along with that 4.4 speed. That doesn't happen very often with human beings, but he's got it, but he's got to tuck that ball away. And of course, on the sideline, after he fumbled, Eric Bieniemy, running backs coach, definitely got into him and let him know what was going on. And I like the fact that how he responded on the kickoff return, mm-hmm. but then you had another one after that where the ball went on the ground. And I understand the weather's cold and you've got some issues, but the fact is, that happens in the NFL, and letting the ball on the ground is the one thing that can't happen.
Yeah, even in the preseason, he's never had a game where it's his game.
Now, right.
I don't look for him to have his game. I could see Jamal doing some stuff. Mm-hmm. But you could see a 2.5 quarters maybe where it's his game, a right. 20-touch, 15-carry kind of game.
Which would be very significant. I mean, to me, for this type of year, his rookie year, that would be his game, because that's probably all he's going to get. And again, if the Chiefs weren't in such a situation in terms of the wins and where they are locked in, you probably wouldn't be seeing it. But again, it's good for him, because if you can get him going, he is a nice combination. He's a different type of runner than Jamal Charles.
He is at that. Now, Justin Houston expected to be back this week. He has missed now 4.5 games. Ironically, the game he was hurt was against the San Diego Chargers, which kind of opened the door for the Chargers to have that comeback and the win late against the Chiefs here at Arrowhead. What about Justin Houston? Getting him back this week, what's it mean? What do you want to see from him so he can charge into the playoffs at full throttle?
Well, you know what? Sometimes when you get a guy back who's a bit of a team leader like he is, even in his second year and the type of sack totals he had, I mean, certainly getting the pressure on the QB and be able to do those type of things, that goes without saying. But I think it's the intangibles that he brings in terms of setting the edge on the run game, being able to play the pass game a little bit, even in coverage sometimes. Doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, he can do it. And what happens is he can get over on one side. He's coming. Now he doesn't, but you've committed two people over to that side, and now all of a sudden you've overloaded the other side with four people, and you only have three to block him, so you have people come free. He just brings a different dynamic, but I think, quite honestly, one of the biggest dynamics he'll bring, aside from the pass rush, which we all know, is just how he plays the run game. He's one of the best outside linebackers playing the run game. I think that goes unnoticed because of all the sacks, which I'm certainly okay with, but you've got to understand, this is a complete player.
And this could be a big week for that because you always hear the term sets the edge. He might set the edge as good as anybody in the league.
He really does because he gets those arms, those big, strong, long arms out there. He gets tackles off of him. He handles double teams very, very well. And even if he doesn't make the play, he gets penetration up there and he forces the play to bounce, which gives your linebackers time to run and get there, or bounce in also, which now you've got your pursuit coming. And really the other guy, I'm diverging a little bit, the other guy that's been doing that a lot very, very well, very unsung hero is Mike DeVito and how he's playing the run game as well.
Yeah, he's been critical to this defense up front. One final area I want to touch on is the secondary. Okay, the San Diego game here kind of threw things off the track for them. Ajira Tutu had the game-winning catch for the Chargers late in that game. We've already talked about Keenan Allen, Gates, Ladarius Green had a big catch against the Chiefs. It was kind of that game where the secondary looked like, uh-oh, things are kind of out of whack here. Guys open free, running all over the field. Secondary-wise, some changes last week against Indianapolis. What does the secondary have to do this week to get playoff ready?
Boy, they do have to regroup because there was three or four times that I can remember off the top of my head where people were just missed coverages and they'd let people go free. None worse than when T.Y. Hilton was out there, nobody within 20 yards of him. And if he located the ball earlier and had been a better throw, he would have went the distance. But in general, you alluded to it. Marcus Cooper was not in there this week. You had Brandon Flowers staying out on the corner. Then you had Donte Robinson coming in and playing the slot. And you know, I don't know if that was any better, any worse. That'll be for the coaches to decide, because quite honestly, there were so many different gaffes in the coverage areas that I'm not sure what was going on. But the one thing I do know is the communication was not the type of communication they need if they want to be successful in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do think overall that group needs to get its mojo back, and then overall defensively, same way. But that group in specific played so well early in the season, playing a lot of press man. And this crew, the San Diego crew, will give them a challenge.
And Mitch, you talk about that press man. That's tough because you're on an island. I mean, you've talked about it. You've got to be a fighter pilot out there, and you've just got to have that ego to know that it's just you and him. And you know what? It's not easy, and you're going to get beat. Any cornerback in this league that's one-on-one, they're going to get beat at times. You've got to be able to come back and make the play the next time. So it will be fun to watch and see how they regroup after what I'm sure they would say was not their best effort.
Yeah, and offensively, the Chiefs just need to get back to kind of what they were doing. I like to see the receivers. Everybody talks about the receivers. But this is a San Diego defense now that has given up some yardage. You said they're better against the run in the last couple of weeks, and they've won four of the last five. Only a 17-10 loss to Cincinnati, and that's it. Otherwise, these guys would be running the table and would be in the playoffs for sure. And again, they still might make the playoffs, but Baltimore, Miami has to lose. But there are plays at the third level they've been hit on, and they've given up some chunk plays. But for the offense, what do you want to see to get playoff ready? Not only to try to get some plays against these guys, but how do you get the mojo back on offense?
Well, first and foremost, I want to see you keep number 11, Alex Smith, clean. Keep him off the turf. Give him a chance to deliver the ball on time and where he wants to deliver it to. Secondly, I want to see the receivers catching the ball with their hands and making sure that they're keeping full possession of it. And you talk about the third level. I think going down the field a little bit would be important. Even if you don't catch the ball, it's just the fact of the sheer threat. But in general, for me, I think the crossing routes will be big. And there, if you keep Alex clean, he's going to hit people in stride. And that's where I think you make your most yards, because it's your yards after catch.
Well, the Chiefs now go to San Diego to close out the regular season. Again, the scenarios are this. The Chiefs are the number 5 seed. Where they play is still a mystery. It could be New England, but Cincinnati would have to win, Indy would have to win, New England would have to lose. That means the Chiefs are going to New England, the most unlikely destination. Cincinnati and Indy both win, Chiefs are going to Indy. Cincy loses, New England wins, Indy wins, Chiefs are going to Cincy. Now, what about
there
all
the center? There will be a test on that too, by the way.
Pythagoras had this all worked out. It's called the Pythagorean Theorem, and I got a C- in Mr. Rogge's class in geometry, so I'm well equipped to handle all this. For the Chiefs, it's just a matter of where they're going. For San Diego, they got to wait for the election returns. But the Chiefs are going to walk into a hornet's nest. Baltimore loses, Miami loses, and San Diego needs to win to get the... Wow, that place will be red hot.
It will. And the one thing, I think it's interesting, because we talked about last week when we talked about Dave Tobin back when he was with Chicago and how they could have knocked Green Bay out of it, and yet they made it, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you right now, Most people want San Diego knocked out of the playoffs right now because they're a team that can do some damage also.
No question. Chiefs could go 3-3 in the division. They could get a 12th win and continue this great season going into the playoffs. We hope you had a great Christmas yesterday. We hope all of you are having an awesome holiday season. We hope you had some time with the family as well, as we're both headed to San Diego. He is the snapper. I am the voice. Mitch Holtis, thanks for joining us on this holiday week edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show.